Hello and welcome to this edition of Community Connections. I'm your host, Chuck Curlin. Today, we are with Vitas Masalitis. He is the park ranger from the McKeag Nature Center. I should say McKeag Nature Education Center, to be exact.
Correct.
Welcome to the program.
Thank you. Well, thank you for having me.
So, Vitas, give us an idea, a little bit of the basis of the McKeag Nature Center, how to come about, and obviously it's on the south side of the township. Let people know where it is exactly.
South side on the township, up in the hills of the south side of the township, by next to Roberts Elementary School. The history of the park is that the McKeag family, they had a daughter, and the daughter, along with a mother, set up a foundation to create a nature center to preserve woodlands, and that's how it started. The first donation of land was roughly 50 acres from the McKeag family. Then there was an additional 15 acres over the years. And as we continue to grow, and now we're a total of 93.3 acres that we manage, that we protect. So it's quite large. It's the largest park in Upper Marion Township. So it's right there. We have 3.25 miles of trails. There's a couple streams, a cliff, and just a lot of beautiful old growth forest woods.
So Vitas, give us an idea of how you got involved with the McKeag Nature Center.
So as growing up, I've always been running out in the woods. I grew up right at the top of the park, and we as a family would go and walk the woods there. But I always wanted to give back to my community. So one of the things that I wanted to do was to be on some organization, and McKeag seemed a natural fit. So back in, I believe, 1994, I started on the board of directors and went all the way through the process there, been all the officers up to president and all that. And then come 2010, we ran out of volunteer power. So the board then hired my advertising company to do the newsletter. And it started out that this newsletter was very successful. And as it grew on, we kept on doing more and more things. And then it turned out that, boy, we need somebody to really continue on with working with programs, kids programs, adult-oriented nature programs, and all the maintenance of membership and advertising and all that stuff. So I became essentially the park ranger come 2011, roughly.
Wow. So what are some of the responsibilities of being the park ranger?
So unlike what most people think, I'm not out in the woods all the time. Much of it is behind a computer, taking phone calls, sending emails, writing grant requests, figuring out programs. So sadly, it's not as often as I would love to be out in the woods, because that would be the best part. But so membership management, keeping up the website, that kind of stuff is primarily what happens. But then I run virtually all the programs. We have a great board of directors who volunteer to steer the McKeag on how to run it, and they do a terrific job. But I get the burden or the joy of running these programs that the board directs me to do.
So of all of your responsibilities, what do you enjoy the most?
Oh, being out in the woods with the kids.
Really?
So taking tours with youth groups, scout groups, school groups, that's by far the most fun for me.
So do a lot of the school groups do like repeat returns?
Typically, yes. So there are many schools that come out, and we have wonderful programs with them, and they're yearly programs, because of course the students move on. Sadly, though, that the public schools don't come out as much as I'd love for them to do that. Now, because we're right next door to Roberts Elementary School, right, they utilize the park very well. But, you know, we have other elementary school students and middle and high school students that could utilize this wonderful nature preserve, but they don't come out for visits.
So typically, what would the size be of a group that you would take out? Would you have like 15 to 20 children at a time?
Yeah, so we have 18 is typically the 18 students, and then some adult chaperones as well. The limitation is that along the trails, it's difficult to communicate. I have a loud voice, but I don't have that loud of a voice. So having everybody scrunched together to learn about something, whatever we're talking about, having more than 18 we found is a little bit much. Now, some of the programs where we do simply hikes, we extend that. So we've had typically 40 or so come out. That's about the largest hikes that we take. But then we have another one of volunteers at the other end of the queue of people, you know, essentially giving them the information that we're providing at the other end of the queue.
So in terms of hikes, are there different distances, or is it usually one uniform hike?
So we have 3.25 miles of unique trails in the park, and we have a couple loops essentially. So they're roughly 1.5 mile loop each, mm-hmm. round numbers. So depending on the age of the group and the ability of the group, so sometimes we have seniors that come out and we don't take the steeper hills, or certainly with young kids, we don't take the steeper hills. And we shorten them, but it's all based on what the ability of the students are, whatever the visitors.
Now, are there specific landmarks that you like to make sure people get to see?
Oh, of course, yeah. So, you know, it's just walking up the valleys where there's a stream next to you, and then there's hills on either side, and again, it's an old-growth forest that we just got recently certified that it's an old-growth forest. And then one of the nice places to visit is we have a cliff, and we call it Monkey Rock. Mm-hmm. There's a couple of bridges. We have a place called The Beach that kind of looks like down the shore, but it's with a stream, and it's gravel and not sand. But it's a nice area for families to come out and relax at. It works out really well.
Now, are there spots along the trails where you could stop for lunch?
So there are several benches that are throughout the parks. Typically, they're at the end of a steep section. Right? There's a couple other benches than that as well, some places to reflect. That you could stop and have lunch, but most of the people who visit who want to have lunch like that stop at the beach and watch their kids play in the stream and then have some you know, picnic time.
Right. So when we look at the McKay Nature Center, I'm assuming and guessing that there's a lot of volunteers involved. How do you keep them all entertained?
So grabbing volunteers to do some work, most people want to help out. Okay. So it becomes very easy when it's time to ask for volunteers. So for example, a couple of weeks ago, we just built a kiosk at the Upper Brower Road entrance, and this was performed by an Eagle Scout candidate. And it was easy for him to gather some scouts and their parents to construct something. So it really works out well, and they did a fantastic job, and it works out really well. We struggle a little bit when we try to ask for people to help us with weeding or moving some gravel, you know, shoveling kind of works. That's a little more difficult. But running programs where we want to have people available to answer questions for kids, that's pretty easy to get people because they really enjoy doing that.
And, yeah.
And our volunteers are absolutely terrific. So
I was going to say, do the volunteers like working with the younger kids or the high school kids? Does it matter to them?
I don't think it matters. I mean, right. we have students from pre-K to university students doing their graduate programs. We have a good partnership right now with Villanova University. One of our board members is a professor over there, and they've been conducting a lot of research there. Cabrini up until they closed, and Eastern comes out, Eastern University comes out as well. And they, you know, they measure, you know, the biomass of a certain area, and they do all sorts of calculations, and their programs do that. So
it's all pretty travel. Cool.
Yeah.
And Vitas, you gave us a good understanding and foundation of the McKay Nature Center. The one thing that I wanted to follow up on was the guided tours. Is that starting to be a big deal with your center?
Yes, very, very frequently now. We're hosting anywhere from family groups to corporations, to school groups, to churches, to just any group that wants to get together. And they typically go for roughly 1.5 to 2 hours. We hike the park, we talk either about nature or history or both. And so the groups have a terrific time. It's not too long, there's not too much of an elevation gain, but they do get to go out in the middle of a forest where they don't see any other houses or any other, well, there's some people that walk through, but right. Typically it's very, very quiet back there, very peaceful. And we learn about nature, we learn about history, and they have a really terrific time. So we book those groups, and it's just turned out really well.
Yeah, speaking of that, if someone was looking to book for a guided tour, how would they go about doing so?
So you can contact us on our website, which is enjoymckeag.org, or our phone number is 484-580-9474. And they're able to call, email, or book us that way, and we can do that. Plus, we run some programs simply for the community that come up. We have nature hikes of varying different types of nature hikes. In the wintertime, it goes more towards moonlit hikes. Uh-huh. So the kids come out. We tell them that you're not allowed to have any flashlights. You're not allowed to have any lights on a watch or on your phones or anything like that. It's simply done by moonlight. And many people say, no way, you can't do that. What do you mean? You're walking through the middle of the woods. And then we walk in the middle of the woods and we show them their shadow from the moon, and they're able to navigate really the whole thing. We have programs to watch meteor showers, especially in the winter when the air is drier and it's a little more crisp to see. So that comes up. Then during the spring and the fall, we do many other different types of programs. We have a trail race, which is one of our big signature events. That's in the beginning of October. Mm-hmm. Go to the website to see on the specific dates, where we have 125 runners run through the woods. We limit it to 125 runners to run through the woods. This year, it's going to be our 10th anniversary, so we're going to have a 10K in addition to our normal 5K. Oh, nice. We also have a one-mile walk associated with that, so if you're not a runner, we have that. And then there's a couple of kids' fun runs, and we have chili cook-offs, and it's a big festival. So that's a terrific one that we have. Additionally, another one of our signature events is we have ghost stories, and ghost stories are done at Old Roberts Schoolhouse by Roberts Elementary School. Roughly 100 people show up. We have a couple bonfires. We make s'mores. The kids tell spooky tales, and it turns out to be really nice. And then we add on about a half an hour night hike with that as well. In the springtime, we do the hunt for McKeg Gold during St. Paddy's Day.
Nice.
So we have them, it's essentially an orienteering program that they run throughout the woods. Family groups or groups go through the program, and then they come back to what we call the beach, and we have a bonfire there. We also make s'mores, and they find a cast iron pot of gold coins.
Wow.
At the end of a rainbow.
That's very nice.
It happens every year. So that's a fun one amongst 100 other different programs that we do.
Yeah, it sounds like it's a nonstop operation, right?
It's so really yeah, tough. Typically we have at least one program a month, but then there's plenty of months, especially in the spring and the fall, where there's multiple programs during a month.
Yeah, knowing where it's located, I'm thinking the fall, it must be beautiful with the foliage and everything like that.
Of course, yes.
You must get a big draw.
Of course, yes. That's a terrific time. Though I got to admit, the most fun time to hike back there, in my opinion, is right after a snowstorm. It is the most peaceful, the most quiet, and it's just beautiful back there. And I hike it so that I can lay down tracks so people could follow it and don't get lost off a trail. So,
I was actually going to ask if you gave tours when it snowed, because I guess it'd be very peaceful, and there's something calming about walking through the snow in the woods.
Yeah, so what we do now is we notify people that if in the forecast there's a snowstorm, we notify people that pay attention to your texts, that if we do have a snowstorm and the timing is right, that we can meet at Roberts School. Typically it's closed, of course, for the snow, but then we'll do a snow hike. So yeah, we do that.
Is it popular?
It's difficult because we haven't had snow in the past couple of years.
Right.
Significant enough amount of snow to make it work. So
yeah, you would think on a snow day the parents would be like, get them out.
Oh yeah. Oh no, and the parents enjoy it too. Oh, yeah. So yeah, absolutely. We love to do that. We have other races. So we were just talking off camera about marathons. So we also run an event that is, you run every hour on the hour for 12 hours, and it's your choice how far you run, whether 1K or 2K or 3K. But if you do a 2K for 12 hours and you double up one of the hours, you can run a marathon in 12 hours, having rest every hour.
Yes.
And the camaraderie is really nice and people have a lot of fun. So we have all sorts of fun programs. Let me bring up one more is we have orienteering frequently, three times roughly a year. Delaware Valley Orienteering Association comes to our park, sets up a professional course, and then we run it out of the schoolhouse is where the controls are. But then out in the woods, they do their orienteering, and lots of people show up and have a fun time.
So what would happen like in a typical orienteering event?
So typical orienteering event is that there's a set of instructions given, and depending on your level of how good you are, it might be written out a little bit to make it a little bit easier, and you stay on the trails if you're a novice to do that. But the more advanced guys go directly from point to point using compass headings and icons for directions. And these guys just run through the woods like they're a deer running through the trails, and they go from point to point to point throughout the park. And they end up running, the Vance guys probably run 5, 6, 7 kilometers. And then they come back and it's timed. The people that are novices just do it for fun, and they walk and they relax and they have a great time with whoever you're bringing with you, your partner, whatever it is.
And enjoy the scenery,
and enjoy
right?
the scenery throughout, yes.
Because I was curious, since you're the ranger, do you ever have to go out and try to say, hey, I just heard Chuck and a bunch of his buddies went out there at night. They haven't come back yet. Who would go out and search for them?
So, of course, for the events, we know how many people show up because they actually carry a little punch that they punch at each thing, and then we can find out exactly who's not back yet. And the Orienteering Association is very, very good about that, that if they notice that somebody didn't come back, we have their phone number, we can start calling, or we send people out in the woods to look for them. But I tell everybody that it's pretty easy not to get lost in McKeag, because no matter where you are, if you go downhill or downstream, you're always going to end up at Roberts Elementary School.
Ah.
So that's a simple way to do that. So you really can't get lost.
Yes. That's a good rule of thumb. Downstream, downhill, it will take you where you have to be.
Yep.
Yeah. So if you went to the schoolhouse, is that where would it be called the Ranger Station or the Nature Center?
Well, so the schoolhouse is rebuilt 1850s one-room schoolhouse, and that's where we host our events. So if we have education programs that require a classroom, there's enough for 45 people to sit in benches, or about 25 people at tables, and we can have classes there. Community groups use that facility for different types of events as well. So, for example, if the Boy Scouts want to meet at a location where they need a little bit more space than somebody's house, they meet there. We host birthday parties there, and so.
Protecting the environment's a big key, and obviously it's 93.3 acres that you're dealing with. What are some of the ways that you're doing something like that?
So a couple ways that we protect the environment. Over the past 8 years, our wonderful volunteers have planted about 800 trees. Not only, there's a very few in the park because we're so densely populated with trees there, but around the community, whether it's here in Upper Marion or not far out in the perimeter here, but 800 trees over 8 years, roughly, just under, we planted. We also maintain a native tree nursery right here across from the township building, along with the Tree Tender Association and the Shade Tree Commission from Upper Marion. Volunteers there all help out to maintain our trees, our saplings there. We have probably about 200 trees in there, maybe a little bit more. And we maintain them there so that we have some trees available for planting around the township. And the second part of that is that we also try to acquire open space, whether we own it or we have rights to manage it, somehow that we can protect the environment. So we have 93.3 acres now. In the past 25 years, we grew 4.22 acres we've collected, and all of this stuff, whether it's the trees or the parcels of land that we can get, are done through donations. We get funding from people who want to help out.
Mm-hmm.
So we have dedicated funds where you could adopt a tree, or simply donate to the Open Space Fund, whether you want to do a legacy program. So maybe this donation could be a part of a will or a life insurance policy that McKeg can be a beneficiary of these types of things. And much of what we've gotten that we've able to do that were some rather sizable donations, and typically, you know, from a legacy gift giving point of view. Additionally, we run student programs and scout programs for underprivileged kids, mm-hmm. and we have some fund available for that people donate to, and then we get some disadvantaged kids that don't have a wonderful park like what we have to come out to enjoy being out in the woods. We just had one over the past summer where a group of inner city kids came out, and I asked them, you know, how many people have never been to a forest? And half of the hands went up, and I that to me was astounding. And we talked about, well, like, what are you afraid of? And they said, you know, bears and lions and things like that. I'm like, oh, there's not really any bears and lions here. There's a couple things that we should be worried about, but that's not one of them. And we go through the whole process, and they were so happy with being out in the woods and just discovering things. We turned over a rock and we saw eggs, some frog eggs and things like that, or you see a water spider, or we talk about different types of birds that are out there, and we you know, say this is what they sound like, and they've never realized that all that stuff is available to them. So there's another program that we have that, again, we ask for donations for that, so that we can sponsor programs like that.
So if somebody wanted to donate, how would they go about doing so?
At our website, enjoymckeg.org, or like I said, you can call at 484-580-9474, and we can talk about setting up however we could do that. We take gifts in the form of land or in the form of stock. That's estate planning, things like that, that we can discuss to help out.
So Vitas, that's what really piqued my interest in terms of someone donates land. What's the process? Like, does it have to be linked up to where the park's at, or?
No, so we, right now we have, well, virtually all the land is locked up at 91.3 acres is locked up at McKeg Nature Center, where we hike. We also have a 2-acre parcel adjacent to Valley Forge Park that we manage and protect the nature about. So that's another thing. So it doesn't necessarily have to be co-joined with that. And we're actively pursuing other land that we can acquire so that we can protect it in natural lands.
So,
and open spaces.
Yes. So someone donates open space, and when you say protect, are you doing the maintenance? Like, what is actually transpiring when you take over the land?
So we protect it from development is what we gotcha. Try to do. So we've actually taken land that had houses on it. The 2-acre parcel in next to Valley Forge Park had a house on it, and mm-hmm. the house was then cleared from the land, and it's now a forest. There's you know, other properties that might have houses on them that we would keep them as a house, but then it wouldn't get developed to some
right.
you know, larger
type
of development.
Right.
Protect the you know, I've been a resident of the township for you know, 59 years. I'd like
right.
to keep it a nice little oasis that we have now.
That's a beautiful thing. Just yeah. like the old Robert Schoolhouse, right?
Right. Right.
That's why it's the center. It's been there. You probably know better a long time, right?
Yes, before the Civil War.
Right.
So 1858 was the start of the construction.
Wow.
They got land from the Colquette family, which turned into the McKeg family. And Jonathan Roberts, I'll give some history. Jonathan Roberts was a state congressman, a state senator, then a U.S. congressman, a U.S. senator for Pennsylvania. And the Valley Forge Memorial Gardens, the cemetery at Gulf and Brooks Road, used to be his estate. So that's where he was. He owned the mill with at Martin's Dam with Mr. Martin, and Mr. Roberts owned a mill there. And he wanted to establish a school for the families, the children of the families that worked at the mill, along with the local farms. And there was a sawmill upstream from Martin's Dam. And that's how he built that that building. And it was a school from 1863 to 1918, when the Unified Upper Marion School District came to be and shut down about 12 of the 25 schools in the township.
There used to be 25.
There used to be 25, yes.
Wow.
And a school for the blind we had here in
really?
Upper Marion, yes.
That's amazing. Yeah, very fascinating. I had no idea.
Yep.
Wow. So there's a lot of history, obviously, that goes, especially in the 91.3 acre,
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of history there. We talk about, there's actually a 1730s farmhouse that borders McKeag. So we could talk about this, the history of the Swedes in the township, going all the way, not just in Swedland, Swedesburg, like we talk about now, but the Swedish settlement here made it all the way up to where McKeag is on the south side of Upper Marion. And then a little bit further, it was Welsh Quakers, but
right.
That's about where it ended. But yeah, there's a fascinating amount of history.
You're not kidding. You are a plethora of information for the area here. That must
right.
be, you must have a great time when you're taking out groups.
I enjoy history, and I try to learn a lot about it. There's actually some, a lot of what I learned was there's original books from the schoolhouse that they used, that were printed in, you know, the late 1800s to talk about history. So you got a different perspective of a book that was written contemporarily to one that would be written now. So you got some really very fascinating history okay. about that. So I read those books that are in the schoolhouse that
wow.
are still there to read. So
if someone else would like to learn more about the McKeag Nature Center, how would they go about doing so?
So again, contact our website. All our events and how to book programs that we do are all on enjoymckeag.org. So it's ENJOY, and McKeag is spelled MCKAIG.org. So enjoymckeag.org, or simply by calling 484-580-9474.
Thank you very much. Vitas, it's been great having you as a guest here today.
My
Vitas
pleasure.
Masalaitis, the park ranger for the McKeag Nature Education Center, has been our guest here today on Community Connections. From all of us here at UMGA Television, I'm Chuck Curlin. Thank you for watching.